it could be an overstatement, overclaim that hustle is the purpose of life, but I would like to think so, because hustle, if tomorrow you remove everything out of me, I have to hustle to at least find my food. So hustle is a very, I think it is a very profound experience. It is so beautiful, except we give it a negative emotion. Oh yeah, I'm hustling, bro. I should say, I'm hustling. It's so much fun to hustle.
Welcome back to the show, guys. This is episode 36 with Narpath Raman, your next door mind reader. This is actually part 2 of my conversation with Narpath. So if you haven't checked out part 1 yet, I would highly recommend checking that one out before you proceed with this one. In this episode, we talk about how you can ensure positive outcomes with anything that you do, how the word fearlessness shouldn't really exist because there is nothing called fearlessness. It's just a matter of how you face your fears. And also, he talks about how important it is to hustle and also how it's a basic need for you to hustle. So yeah, stick around for that too. If you like the intro and you like where this is heading, then consider smashing the like button and showing the YouTube algorithm what's up. So yeah, let's get right to the episode then. This is episode 36 with Narpath Raman. Two things here. One is I've gotten to meet you guys and I can always, you know, pick up my phone and reach out to you and we can just hang out. That's one way to look at it. And the other thing is something my wife told me, which is kind of I'm creating a legacy for myself.
You absolutely are. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you are creating a massive legacy, but that is not comparable to someone else's because it's so unique to you.
Yeah.
You cannot say, oh, he has got so many views and I've got... No.
Views is not legacy.
100 people are watching.
What is views? What's
what
legacy?
Is
views?
What is... It's just a number.
Yeah.
It's a bloody legacy you're creating.
Correct, yeah.
So be proud of anything.
Yeah. Definitely, dude. Because so my wife, something that she said to her mother, to my mom-in-law is, first of all, I don't know why she framed it this way, but it's kind of coming across like a little selfless because honestly, I'm doing this so that way other people can feel the way I did when I listened to the right person, right? That's the biggest reason I'm doing this, being very honest. Just getting going with this, people can relate. Maybe they have a mind block. They've listened to this episode, figured out how to get past it. Maybe they don't know how to figure out. They'll maybe Google it or they'll reach out to us. Somehow get past it.
Absolutely.
Right? That's basically what I'm trying
somehow
to do.
Somehow we triggered a positive shift in somebody.
Correct. Exactly. And the other thing she mentioned was the legacy bit, which if not anything, you can show our kids we did this. Right?
Absolutely.
Which is awesome.
Like, if not bloody anything, we had a great time.
Yeah, dude. Exactly.
If not
dude.
Anything.
Yeah. And I think all these things that we're talking about and I truly believe, like, you've seen some of our episodes as well.
I did.
And all of these are literally, I feel, in some way, timeless. If I look at this 30 years down the line too, the values are still going to hold true. Our world, we might have slowly evolved to a different place, but we still have the same ancient primal brain.
Correct.
The ancient primal heart. So we are going to still function at that same thing. We might have gadgets and whatnot, but still, we are still looking for attention. We're still looking for reinforcement. We're still looking for feedback,
absolutely.
Approval, everything, right?
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think that way I'm hoping this is, you know, something that transcends time. I'm being very, again, I'm talking deep because you've got me here. Narpath, you have no one else to blame but yourself. I'm just, no, but yeah.
Yeah. Bro, I'm going to start this. You tell me your journey.
No. But I think that is honestly the what I'm trying to do. And I think more than anything, if we can get people to just get going and acting, I think I've done my job, you know, and you have done your job. That's basically, you know. And I like what you're saying too, which is you're bringing your values into your shows.
Correct.
You're bringing your values into your, you know, your events and whatever you're performing, your performances too, which is crazy, I'm sure, because they're coming in with one perception. And when you catch people off guard, oh, I'm sure it's going to seep through. Right? Have you? You might have had obviously.
Can I tell you a story?
Yeah, please do. Tell me a lot of stories.
Cool. So there's a routine I do, which I was approaching this as a routine.
Okay.
As a performance piece until that incident happened.
Okay.
Again, one of those table performances.
Okay.
I'm not sure which venue. Performing to a girl. I asked her to think of somebody from her life, and I somehow get the name or whatever I do. I think I wrote down and gave the paper to her. She looks at the paper. She starts crying.
Okay.
At a pub bar. Who expects a mentalist to walk in and do this, and a girl is getting emotional.
Yeah.
And she's telling me, she didn't tell me anything. She got my number. Then two, three days later, she called me. She calls and tells me the story. Narpath, you have no clue what you have done. She's telling me she happened to think of her mom. I happened to reveal her mom's name or whatever in my own manner, which I was approaching as a performance piece.
Yeah.
Truth of the story is they are an estranged family. The mom and dad had a divorce. Because of that, she had not been speaking to her mom for the past 10 years.
Damn.
She took a picture of this photo, told the story to her. This initiated a conversation or a motivation to talk to her mom because you're still attached. That initiated a conversation between the mom and daughter. And she sent me a photo of her mom and daughter meeting after 10 years. I'm sitting here and thinking, oof.
Damn, dude, that's crazy.
Then I'm thinking to myself, what a mistake I've been doing approaching that as just a performance piece. It brought up, I mean, again, not blowing my own trumpet. I'm telling you, learning. I was approaching that as a piece I would do at every table.
Yeah, yeah.
And other table, I've done the same thing. But here, what has happened is it's brought back a family together, and I happen to be the medium for it. I kind of facilitated that in whatever way that is. I went back thinking, oh, this is not just a piece that I approach as I don't know, just as a performance.
Yeah,
I should take it so seriously. What if this can unite 100 families? What if this can stop a war? That is why I want to think.
Right.
Because I'm a huge fan of football. Yeah. So there's a player called Drogba.
Yeah, of course.
He used his influence to stop a war in his country.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think big. I'm not Drogba, but in my own way, maybe in your own way, that is how I want to think. If a performance piece, in fact, I hate to use the word trick.
Yeah.
But in a broad sense, there is some kind of a technical element involved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Which is how I was approaching that piece.
Yeah.
I start thinking, since I associate with football, oh my God, when a football, just a football player, a sportsman can stop a war, if my performance piece bar, hate to call the trick, whatever, can bring a family together back. If I took this seriously, if I took it on my shoulders, if I owned it, I don't know. Maybe I don't necessarily have to bring down a war. I can at least unite 10 families, whatever.
Right, right.
That led me to understand you have to base everything you do according to the purpose of your life. Not necessarily approach everything through numbers. Not necessarily approach everything through logic. So that led me to understand, oh, my purpose of life is to bring people together. My purpose of life, the soul came to my body to do this. And my soul takes no pride in it, because I'm just a medium for this to be.
Got it.
I'm just facilitating. I'm just creating a platform, and everything else will happen on its own. Correct. That is when I went back and reworked on that piece. That is when I understood, oh, I should be more serious about what I do, and every piece matters so much to me.
Dude,
that is one of those stories.
Dude, that's crazy.
It's fun.
So have you? What has your approach been ever since? Have you started? Have you seen more instances, lad, because you change it up a little more, you dive a little more deeper into that?
Yes, still a lot of people for that one piece, a lot of people take a picture of that, send it to me. A lot of people stick that piece of paper to their fridges. That is all you need. Because when you wake up, sometimes when you wake up, you don't remember who you are. At that beginning, you don't remember who you are. But that memory of these people sending these messages to you, that will reinforce. Yeah, if that happened, today I'm motivated to do something else, because that will lead to something else. So this is the
reinforcing.
Reinforcing. This is called the butterfly effect.
Yeah, yeah.
You do something as small as flapping your wings.
Yeah.
That is a reason for a volcano in, I don't know. That is how universe works. Is beautiful. Yeah. It's real magic.
Yeah, for sure. Dude, we should actually talk about this one thing I've been like wanting to get down to, which is we're talking about the positive side of things, right? But I think we should talk about how we, I think, inherently always resort or revert to negative side.
Absolutely.
Or how you said that you were always a very negative person. Now, that can be in the broadest sense, whatever. It could be for a specific thing too. That's all, that's great. But why do you think people generally do that? Because I think I know the answer to a certain degree. And we had one of the guests, the previous deep sessions that we had on the show, where he spoke about how everything is a balance between happiness and suffering. And because you undergo suffering, you need to, you are kind of programmed to see that others also might suffer, and you kind of thrive there, and you kind of, relate on that level. So it's good for you to see others suffer, because you're like, I've suffered anyway and I've felt pain here. So it's great for me to feel, if someone else also feels that way. And it's always better for you to point fingers outward, because why not? Why would I?
It's the easiest thing, right?
Yeah, not selfish, right? It's obviously the way to go. But what do you think is the reason why people do this? And ideally, what's the way to get past this? I know it's again a very... because I say this because we touched upon a few things, and you personally have a lot of experience where I can see that right now the only vibes I'm getting are positive, and the only things you're talking about, your smile, everything.
I'm shamelessly positive.
Yeah, but what's gotten you here? Or rather, why do you think people do that first, and then what's gotten you here? How can people get past that?
Okay, so beautiful question. So 98% of people have not transformed yet.
Yeah.
They're still there.
When you say transform, what do you mean?
Just being happy. So when I say transformation, does not mean I'm earning so much. When I say transformation, I know this person. It means being happy to yourself. Being happy in the skin I am. Being happy in the voice I am. Being happy in the bald hair I am. Being happy in the South Indian I am.
Everything.
Yeah. That takes life experiences to understand. So how do you... bro, what is your question?
Yeah, so the negative aspect.
Negative aspect. Yeah. How to address, right? I believe... Again, I think I'll have to go back to my personal experiences than...
Yeah, I think that'll easily drive the message home. Yeah.
Correct. Are you a fan of A. Rahman?
Sure, yeah.
So he's one person I associate so much with. Not purely because he's probably the greatest musician India has ever seen, but also when you look at how he talks, you can learn so much. And I've spoken firsthand to people who have chilled with him.
Right? Humility personified, right?
What a man, bro! what a man! And I believe he's so happy as a human being, with no judgment on himself, no mind blocks. That is why he's able to deliver that kind of an output.
Okay.
There is literally nothing he's worried about. So I think you just have to leave it to the universe. I think we are meant to receive. If there is, let's call this God, for example, or the universe. The same example, Elon Musk and the beggar on street, they all have equal opportunities. They all have equal access to all virtues of life. You talk about fame, money, family, anything, romance, anything. All those two people at two polar ends have equal opportunities. What this guy is doing is he's just complaining. Again, law of attraction. So if I'm negative, what I was doing when I was negative was I was attracting negative people. Because why? I was attracting negative thoughts. What is the content I would watch? Negative. It is again, that is also magical. If I'm complaining about life, hey, bro, it is not working out. Bro, he didn't do this to me. She didn't do this to me. My girlfriend left me. My dad is not rich. His dad is rich. What are you doing? By thoughts, you're attracting negative energy. It is so magical. Randomly, you'll just meet another negative person who is in the same zone.
It is so true.
It's funny. he or she will say, come and align with you. That is also law of attraction. Law of attraction is not necessarily positive. It is a law. What you are is what you will attract. So I'm attracting, I'm thinking of what happened to me. I'm just attracting people who are also in the complaining zone, who are also in the same zone as I was. Now, what is even trickier is now I've multiplied that negative energy.
Right. Exponentially more.
Exponentially more. He's bringing in 5 more people. We are a community now.
Let's all hold hands and bitch.
It is so funny, bro.
Yeah. It
took me a lot of time to understand what I'm attracting. I have just attracted this. There is nobody else I can blame this on. It is just me. Started with what a thought. So how we can transform, how we can change this is to realize it and think. Look at things around you. Look at people around you. Very important. Because you and I are just an average of 5 and 10 people we know.
That is so true. Yeah.
Whatever you are, is your learnings and your brought up. It came from half of them. Until the age, it comes from your parents. After an age, it comes from people you are with.
The community.
That is all.
Yeah.
So first thing to change is where you live. If your room is untidy, if your room is all shabbily placed, that is also maybe attracting some kind of a negative energy to you because you're not giving attention. Look around the people you're chilling with. If these are people who are again complaining, they come back. This one complains about his boss. This one complains about her wife. Sorry, his wife.
Yeah.
This one complains about whatever.
Hey, her wife too. Why not?
Why not? Sorry. Sorry. Why not?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. What I've been doing, I'm also, hey, bro, this is not happening. And it becomes a collective energy.
Right.
And all four will never, ever grow. Rather, if I told myself, yeah, what do I want in life? Let's say I want to become rich. I will go find people who are rich.
Mm.
One sentence from them, just being with somebody who is rich. Just this example, I'm taking money. If you spent half an hour with them, you have to figure out your ways. Just by being in their presence can trigger richness into you. One advice from them can trigger money into you. Then what are you? So that is shift according to me. So
just
leave complaining. You have equal opportunities regardless of wherever you are. You have equal opportunities. You have equal access, not just opportunity. You have equal access to all 16, 20 virtues of life as Elon Musk. Just that. Truth, brutal truth is you like being there. You are lazy.
Yeah.
Brutal truth is...
complacent.
That is the word. Thanks. Bro, I come from matriculation school. Thanks. Thanks for the word.
Yeah.
Complacent. Yeah. Just being satisfied and...
Yeah, I think we're just comfortable and lazy. You know, it's easy for us to get lackadaisical and just not do stuff. And then we say, you know, that's just... This is just the cards we are dealt and that's that. We can't do anything about it. But I think everything's in your control.
Absolutely. Okay. If you wanted to make money, if you're open, I can look at this glass and I can think of ways to make this a product.
Yeah.
Just that I'm saying to myself, oh, how can this be a product?
Yeah, everyone's already tried it.
I'm saying to myself, how can this be a product? What are you saying? This is hardly 20 rupees. But if I thought, okay, if this 20 rupees MRP, if I can make 3 rupees out of a glass, if I sold 100 glasses a month, then if I... convert that energy into 1,000 glasses a month, then a million, I'm a millionaire.
Right. Yeah.
Just that we like telling ourselves, no, this is... But the fun is in the hustle. The fun, the real fun is in the hustle.
Actually, hustle is my next thing I want to talk about, which is so...
Mind read, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think today we are seeing a lot of... I think the West has always had... Not always, but... In the last decade or so, the hustle culture is just like
blown up
through the roof, right? I think to an extent, it's good. And if you see these guys who talk about hustle and if they're coming at it from the right direction and the right space, completely worth it. Because I think, like you said, the fun is there. There's a drive that's associated with the hustle. And if done the right way where you don't get burnt out and you're doing it with a balance... It's worth it. I think, but today people are taking it, you know, like overdosing on hustle, or they're just doing something, stating they're busy and calling that the hustle.
Busy is a very, very wrongly put, very wrongly understood verb.
I don't think we should even use the term busy. It's just off, right? It's so like...
busy is, in my opinion, busy is equal to being unproductive. Again, it's very... I'm taking polar sides.
No, but that's what even I've seen pretty much all my life. I think you can sit down and do... Let's say if you have 5 things to do in a day, you decide to go not top-down, where the most important one being the top, but you decide to pick the most, you know, the easiest one. Dedicate 3.5 hours to it. That doesn't make it the most important task, one, and doesn't mean you're actually busy, and it doesn't mean you're hustling. You're doing none of this.
You're doing nothing.
Which means, like you said, you're non-productive.
And you're manifesting nothing.
Exactly.
That leads to nothing.
Right. Yeah. So, how would you define hustle? How would you go about, you know, because in your case, your hustle has been how you just decided to put yourself out there, just finding avenues that where you could just experiment things. And at the same time, you just went to the street and just start performing for everyone, right? That was the hustle that you, and I think it's still with you today.
Bro, I miss it. Sometimes I do.
Yeah. But I'm sure if you go into an office and you're performing there, those things come back and there are traits on there that you take away, and that's what you're, you know.
That made me who I am, right? Because on streets, there is literally nothing I can control.
Yeah.
I cannot control who's on my back.
No one can control Bangalore traffic. That's another thing. But yeah.
True. So, yeah. Streets taught me everything, because I spoke to people from all cultures. I had spoken to people from all beliefs. I had spoken to unimaginable kinds of people. And I have no control over my environment. That led me to one more learning. I do not have control over things that I don't have control over.
Right.
Only certain things I can control.
Right.
That learning led me to thinking, okay, I'm in this space. What can I best deliver in this space? I should not think, oh my God, he did that, she did that. No. I'm in that moment, in that context, I'm there. I'm put in that situation, which is meant for me to, from the universe, it is meant for me to learn one thing or two things, 10 things, which will become a life value later.
So true. Yeah.
Then I understood how to move my body. Then I understood how, if I talk to this person, he will answer this. That maybe might give me some time to do whatever technical element it needs. And then I go on stage, I'm no more fearful. Because I come from a very raw place.
Yeah.
Where are we going? What is that?
No, but these are the kind of things that make sense. But yeah, you went from hustle to...
Hustle, right. So I'm a massive fan of hustle, because everybody, even the Elon Musk or your Bill Gates or your Ambani, is also hustling in their own way. That leads me to believe hustle is not necessarily the purpose of life, but hustle is a very core, primal element of life.
Okay.
Because if you go back to being a hunter-gatherer, he had to hustle for food. The lion has to hustle for food. If there is no hustle, there is no life. I think it could be an overstatement, overclaim that hustle is the purpose of life, but I would like to think so. Because hustle, if tomorrow you remove everything out of me, I have to hustle to at least find my food. If everything is gone, if everything is taken away from me, I have to hustle for money. If I want to attract a relationship, I have to hustle for that.
Yeah.
So hustle is a very, I think it is a very profound experience. It is so beautiful, except we give it a negative emotion. Oh, yeah, I'm hustling, bro. I should say, I'm hustling. It's so much fun to hustle.
Yeah.
I don't know if you answer this.
No, yeah, definitely. And I think it comes down to how you approach it, right? If it fuels you, then there's no other way to look at it but positively. Because if not, you're doing it for a reason, it's giving you feedback, you're feeling great. But if you're doing it the other way, then there's something wrong that you're doing and it's not hustling anymore. And today, it's just like, there are these gurus and these
spiritual gurus.
Yeah, not just spiritual, just these hustle gurus.
Hustle gurus. Oh, there are hustle
and
gurus. Huh?
Productive gurus and hustle gurus and all these guys who are just like, you don't worry about anything else. Just put your head down and just keep doing the work. Just keep doing it. Don't worry, you'll come to, just keep doing it. Work for 16, 18, 20, 30, 40 hours a day. And I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, seriously, what's happening?
Makes no sense.
Yeah, makes absolutely no sense, because you're in it for the long game, right? There's nothing. And I think we have brought this up on the show before too. And all the important things in life takes time. Any bloody thing in life that
is
important.
If it does not take time, it is highly momentary.
Exactly. So if you're in it to hustle, and like you said, hustle is not a 2-year thing. It's not a 3-year thing. And you say, hustle is done for 3 years. I've reached this point and it's done. No, it's a way of life, dude. It's a lifestyle, right?
It is the core. So when you say hustle is long term, I would like to push it to a whole different level. In my next life, I'm again going to be born as a kid. Then again, my hustle starts. Hustle is so much fun. Because you go to school, you're looked down upon, you're insecure, you have to hustle to tackle it, you have to hustle to learn it. So it is my opinion, it is a beautiful experience.
And it is one facet of life itself, is what you're saying, right?
I think it's a need, in my opinion. It is your shelter, food, sex and stuff. It's a fundamental.
Damn. Yeah, that's
you have to yeah. You have to give it nothing else but positive energy.
Mm.
Because today I, while driving, when I reached you, when I met you, somebody might categorize this as, oh, they're both hustling because they want attention. They're both hustling because they want views.
Yeah, yeah.
But I am having so much fun. I'm not looking at this as a hustle.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this as a profound human experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So again, it's just boils down to how you look at things.
Correct.
In their eyes, it is hustle. In our eyes, it is fun. Is being in the present and having fun.
Yeah, yeah. I think that the strive for finding something that you can find fun, but yet fulfilling and also pays you, is that like the most important trifecta.
God is with you then.
Yeah, dude.
Real God. I don't know. The ultimate God is helping you.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it comes down to how you manifest itself. Like, if you are not putting yourself out in the right spaces in the sense what works for you, then you're obviously going the wrong direction, and obviously it's going to, you know, end up in failure, or forget failure, misery and disappointment and whatnot. But in this case, if you're trying, like you went to different restaurants and pubs, who the hell knew restaurants and pubs had freaking, you can do anything with mentalism. These guys are half drunk there anyway. Like, what the hell, right? But then you actually were able to, you know, talk to these guys, build something, and then from there, you've reached a different level altogether, which is crazy. So, yeah, for sure. I completely agree. And I think one last important thing I want to talk about is, we spoke about the negative aspects. Now, let's talk about the positive side. I think we've been talking about a lot of positivity. But what are the, let's say, the importance of thinking and acting in a positive manner, I think, is something that a lot of people don't necessarily do, because being nice is like a very cliche thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, everyone's like, oh, that person's a nice guy. That's the term, right? Oh, he's a nice person. Which is a very funny kind of a not so positive kind of negative kind of a thing. He's a nice guy, which means he could be a, what's the word?
Shallow.
You can take him for granted, or her for granted.
Correct.
Right,
because I understand what you're saying. Even a very selfish entrepreneur who's done great in life can be called nice.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
But if you look at the core of it, maybe he's doing something else. He's cheating, or he's doing under the table stuff to be wherever he is.
Correct.
But to the society, he could be called nice.
Yeah, but I think it's so important for you to just look at things in a positive manner and just behave in a positive manner, because I think that compounds in so many different levels, right? I have never seen things coming out of just being nice to other people in a bad way. You get it? Nothing that could be negative. And dude, if you're part of the rat race, right, there's a good chance that it goes back to that whole suffering thing we spoke about, and you're trying to get ahead of the other person, so you're only in it to get, you know, like objectively ahead of the other person, not worrying about how you as a team can grow. Which is the saddest way, you know, you can be part of a society itself. And I think in our country, our societal culture and just the pressure itself that we have, right, is just ridiculous.
Oh my God, bro, at least to the youth right now, people are so obsessed with this one term called comparison. Also, you have to blame it a little bit on from our parents as well. Because growing up, they always compared. I mean, at least mine did not. Comparison can sometimes lead to even suicide.
Yeah.
Right? So, I believe it is just your growth. It is just your team's growth. And how much can that impact someone else's life? So, there is literally no comparison. If somebody is somewhere, you have to be really genuinely happy about the person. There is no way you should compare yourself to that person. He or she is there because of whatever reason. Who are you to judge anybody?
Correct.
It is your life. Your journey.
Yeah.
So when people ask me, how are you? My answer straight away is I'm shamelessly happy. I would very hardly say, yeah, bro, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, that's like so the default answer. Right?
Default cliche. What is fun in it?
Yeah.
I just, anytime somebody asks me, I make it a point. I say I'm shamelessly happy. What has happened? That shamelessly happy, which is my character.
Yeah.
But emotion could be applied to anybody.
Yeah, yeah,
and my character is a little fun character, at the same time, a little subtle also. I'm saying I'm shamelessly happy. There are people who have come back and told me, Narpati, you told me that. What does it mean? Then I explain this. Some 6 months, 8 months later, they will tell me that made some positive shift in me. So you belong to a larger space. So whatever impact you can make within that small, this one lifetime, if you could make and leave, that is all. There is literally, and you're timeless. Even if you made one video, one shift to one person, even if you and I tomorrow die, we have done our work. So there is literally no comparison to anybody. It is so. We are all so unique. 8 billion people, bro. 8 billion people, bro.
Is that the number?
As I'm talking, it's becoming more. I'm sure people are having sex.
Yeah, right now. Shit. Right now. They did 9 months ago.
I don't want to think about it. But the visual just came.
Yeah. Oh man.
Almost 8 billion, right? So everybody.
Holy shit! I didn't know that's a number, by the way.
8 billion. 8 bloody billion, right? So where is comparison? Where is you are so unique to me. And I am to you, and we both are to other people. Comparison is that one thing. If I had to somehow eliminate from a society, I think going forward I will align my at least my act or whatever to crush it. Everybody's stuck in that zone. He, she is. Oh, they're going. They're running. What am I doing? Bro, it does not really matter.
But dude, it's such a. It's like literally intrinsic in our society, because I say that because it's like literally has to be changed at its core, because everywhere you see, right, our entire, all the processes in our life, from career to upbringing to literally anything, is comparison.
True.
There's let's take a simple job in a corporate company. You might be the best, literally like one in a million, but you are going to be compared to the million. Your team, there are 20 people. Absolutely. You have done something. If you have brought in, let's say, the most
biggest
number
sale,
of,
whatever.
Exactly. The whatever, most yeah. biggest, most number of dollars for revenue. And if the guy next to you has worked 3 more hours than you, that guy has worked 3 more hours than you. Objectively, that's the case. Why didn't you work it? We can put you at the same level. Which is such a sad way
sick, bro.
It's so sad, right? And we spoke about this in our previous episode. I think one of the previous episodes, where a good leader is one who can understand that person who's working with or for or whatever, and decide how that person can, person's abilities can be used to the fullest.
That is all.
That is it, right? But no one does that. Everyone's trying to come up with template formulas. Like a one size fits all, do it, put it on that person too. If he can't adhere to it, too bad. He's not capable of doing it. Which is so sad.
Because he is becoming negative. He's again attracting.
Yeah, we're not fucking robots, right? There's no way we can be that way. And, oh man, it's just sad. But I get what you're saying, which is you We had another guest on the show who spoke about, and I believe this very, very strongly, because I believe in what you said earlier too, which is your environment talks about how things are in your mind.
Absolutely.
Right? The way you center things, I mean, space things around you shows where you're coming from, how organized you are. Those are so important and it goes a long way. And here, this person told me that if you get anything, ensure that you leave it in a better situation than it was when it came to you. If you can do that, right, you can be the best entrepreneur, the best creator. You can be the best anything on earth because you're just slowly, incrementally improving everything that's coming your way.
Very, very true.
Right?
So, that is all. If one understood this, life is understood already.
So difficult, dude. Difficult. Yeah, both of us are like sitting and talking and sipping coffee and water.
No, it's difficult, I know for a fact. Yeah. And if we all, as we appear to be very, very happy and all of this, you and I are going through shit, of course.
Yeah.
But where it changes is, am I looking at this as shit or am I looking at this as an experience I can learn from?
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at life that way, nothing matters. Even death wouldn't matter. You will understand the signs of death. If somebody left, because I come from very personal experience.
Yeah.
When somebody left, when you understand, oh yeah, they're again as a form of energy, as a form of a soul, they're somewhere, they're gone, just the body is left. Then if you fight the fear of death, once you fight the fear of death, you're not anymore worried about comparison. I'm not anymore worried about what will happen. I'm just being in the present. Right now, in this given moment, I'm having so much fun with Akash. That is all I'm thinking. Once this moment is over, a different moment starts. There we might be talking maybe business. Maybe there we might, pertaining to that moment.
Yeah.
You never, who knows, bro? We can die tomorrow. Who knows?
Yeah. It's so true. I think you undivided attention is like key. Whatever you're doing, right? Just like be in it 100% and you know, do what is in your control and that's that. Worrying about, dude, worry and all like comes, I've spoken about this time and again on the show, but it's like, it's ingrained in me.
Yeah.
I like overthink.
I'm also an overthink.
Big time. Stress is like very easy to, you know, like I grapple with stress every day. Worry and all is like something that comes to me regularly time and again. But of late, I've been like trying to understand that there is stress. There is worry. What is this worry? What is this stress? And try and get as comfortable as possible with it and just continue. Because no matter what, that's going to be there. In some manifestation, some form or the other.
Absolutely.
But how you feel and how you perceive it is very key, I think. Dude, this has just been incredible. I just had an awesome time conversing with you. This is just awesome. Now we'll go and like get something to eat and we'll talk about more stuff as well.
Done.
But dude, thank you so much. This was awesome. I think this is a good place for us to wrap things up.
I'm absolutely grateful, proud to be here. How many hours? 1 hour or more?
Dude, it's like an hour and 45 minutes almost. So okay. This is probably going to be 2-part episode.
Okay. I'm sorry to have pushed it.
No, not at all, dude. So we started our show with the intent of truly going long form. Okay. But I realized, so we got a lot of feedback from a lot of people saying it's a little long, but what I've realized is maybe when I get to a point where I've got a small community of listeners or viewers, they won't mind spending that time because they realize there's value in it, right? So first 20 episodes were super freaking long, in the sense an hour and a half, 2 hours, one episode. You might have seen some of those. Then we started trying breaking it up, chopping it up. Either we had the conversation for an hour or a little less than that, or we chop it up and we do this. So just to see whether it's perceived differently and we're getting that sort of traction. So now for the next 20, 30 episodes, we're trying that bit where mm-hmm. we're chopping it up. We're trying out smaller pieces. Let's see. A 15-minute conversation. Let's see if that goes anywhere. But I think yours, this is the struggle I have with everyone, which is when I sit down.
What to put?
Dude, we talk for so long. There's no way I can cut it short there, right?
You feel like everything is supposed to be shared.
You have to. Being very honest, we barely do any edits to the conversation.
Okay.
So for the most bit, everything we've spoken now is going up. It is going up. And literally what I'm saying right now is also going up. So the fact of the matter is, I think trying to perfect this part has been the biggest challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the conversation going in a way that I can just publish it without having to worry about it. Then worry about everything else. The intro, outro, make it look nice, sound nice, all of that. That's all like secondary. But this is the core. This is that soul of the show. Right? So this one as well. So I noticed, I realized 45, 50 minutes into it, this conversation is not going to end anytime soon. We still have a lot of things to talk about. And I still have a lot more things to talk about. But we'll have you again on the show, dude.
Bro, first of all, I'm grateful. Forget any other emotion. I'm grateful to be here. And our friendship will go a long way.
For sure, dude. So yeah, I'll ask one thing of you, which I ask of all my guests, which is, what's one last thing you'd want to put out there for our viewers and listeners? It could be something we've spoken about already, or it doesn't even have to be. It could be just anything. What is the one thing that you feel you need to tell our viewers and listeners?
So, if I had to say one thing. I think two things. Can I say two?
Yeah,
things?
Yeah, please. If you want to make it three, it's fine.
So one first point is, if again, sounds like a cliche, but if something scares you, just do it. Right now, I'll do some favor to the camera.
Yeah, yeah.
Artist.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're watching, if something scares you, just do it right away, because you never know, that is a changing point to, I don't know, a shift to something larger than life. That is one. Second, always feel comfortable to put yourself in a very uncomfortable spot. Feel very, very comfortable to put yourself in a very, very uncomfortable spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you feel stoned when you put yourself in a very uncomfortable spot.
Right?
Yeah. You feel highly profound. And what you come out of that experience is going to stay with you for your entire, not just this lifetime, because I believe in soul.
Transcends lifetime.
It transcends lifetime. One small shift in thought can transcend throughout your lifetime. So two things, if something scares you, do it. Second, be very comfortable placing yourself in a very uncomfortable spot. That's all.
Yeah. And I think one thing I'll add to that is what you said. If someone wants to try doing the second bit, just go to Brigade Road. Just catch random people on the street and just talk to them for 1 minute.
So much fun. Absolute fun.
Dude, it is the scariest shit and the most fun thing to do on earth. I've actually thought a lot about doing this, just that I thought about this right before we started shooting the series. But I think a lot of guys have spoken about this too, and just go and talk to people. If you can get past that fear, half the other shit just vanishes from
more than half is done.
Yeah, yeah. Cool, dude. Dude, Narpat, this was awesome. Thank you so much for making time. And we'll have you again, like I keep saying, for sure.
I cannot be happier and more grateful. Thanks a lot, Akash.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Cool, dude. Thanks. So yeah, that concludes my conversation with Narpat. What do you think of the episode? Let me know over DMs on Instagram. I'd love to hear from you. Or if not, you can just leave a comment down below. And while you're at it, just don't forget to smash the like button, because it really helps get the word out there. If you're liking the series, then consider sharing the episodes with your family and friends. I'm putting a lot of thought into ensuring that the narrative, the message, and just the production quality of the show itself in general is good. So if you can get this in front of more people, I'm sure it's going to benefit them in some way or the other. If you are on Apple Podcasts, then consider leaving us a rating and review there. It really goes a long way and gets the show in front of more people. Guess that's pretty much it. I can't wait for you guys to experience the next episode. We have a very interesting one, so stay tuned for that. But until then, ciao.